Aaron dies in Moses' arms. Accordingly, the hosts of Israel again made their way over the sterile waste that seemed even more dreary after a glimpse of the green spots among the hills and valleys of Edom. From the mountain range overlooking this gloomy desert rises Mount Hor, whose summit was to be the place of Aaron's death and burial. When the Israelites came to this mountain, the divine command was addressed to Moses. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up onto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. Together these two aged men and the younger one toiled up the mountain height. The heads of Moses and Aaron were white. Their long and eventful lives had been marked with the deepest trials and the greatest honors that had ever fallen to the lot of man. All their powers had been developed, exalted, and dignified by communion with the Infinite One. Their countenances gave evidence of great intellectual power, firmness and nobility of purpose, and strong affections. Many years together they had breasted unnumbered dangers, but the time was at hand when they must be separated. They moved on very slowly, for every moment in each other's society was precious. The ascent was steep and toilsome, and as they often paused to rest, they communed together of the past and the future. Before them was spread out the scene of their desert wanderings. In the plain below were encamped the vast hosts of Israel, for whom these chosen men had spent the best portion of their lives and made great sacrifices. Somewhere beyond the mountains of Edom was the path leading to the Promised Land, that land whose blessings Moses and Aaron were not to enjoy. A solemn sadness rested upon their countenances as they remembered what had barred them from the inheritance of their fathers. Aaron's work for Israel was done. 40 years before, at the age of 83, God had called him to unite with Moses in his great mission. He had held up the great leader's hands when the Hebrew hosts gave battle to Amalek. He had been permitted to ascend Mount Sinai, to behold the divine glory. The Lord had honored him with the sacred consecration of high priest. He had sustained him in the holy office by terrible manifestations of judgment in the destruction of Korah and his company. When his two sons were slain for disregarding God's express command, he did not rebel or even murmur. Yet the record of his noble life had been marred when he yielded to the clamors of the people and made the golden calf at Sinai, and again when he united with Miriam and in murmuring against Moses. And he, with Moses, offended the Lord at Kadesh by disobeying the command to speak to the rock that it might give forth water. Aaron bore the names of Israel upon his breast. He communicated to the people the will of God. He entered the most holy place on the Day of Atonement, not without blood, as a mediator for all Israel. It was the exalted character of that sacred office as representative of our great high priest that made Aaron's sin a Kadesh of so great magnitude. With deep sorrow, Moses removed from Aaron the holy vestments and placed them upon Eleazar, his successor by divine appointment. For his sin at Kadesh, Aaron was denied the privilege of officiating as God's high priest in Canaan, of offering the first sacrifice in the goodly land. Moses was to continue leading the people to the very borders of Canaan but was not to enter it. Had these servants of God borne unmurmuringly the test at Kadesh, how different would have been their future. A wrong act can never be undone. It may be that the work of a lifetime will not recover what has been lost in a single moment of temptation or thoughtlessness. As the people looked about upon their vast congregation, they saw that nearly all the adults who left Egypt had perished in the wilderness. They remembered the sentence pronounced against Moses and Aaron. Some were aware of the object of that mysterious journey to the summit of Mount Hor, and their solicitude was heightened by bitter memories and self-accusings.